Hi, and welcome to Adoption, the Journey of Becoming Chosen. My name is Emily Wells, and I am super excited about today's guest. His name is Simon Benn, and he is hailing all the way from the UK. And there was a lot of small details about his life that we didn't really even get to because we just jumped in. And we'll talk a little bit about how he found the podcast and how he ended up on the podcast. But this was truly one of the most fun interviews I've done, not because any of our other guests haven't been fun, but he is just, it's who he is as a person. His energy is contagious and you can feel it. His wisdom is just beyond where I'm at. And so it was so exciting to talk to someone further in their journey. And he works on a lot of fun projects and he'll kind of share a little bit about what he does. So I'm super grateful for his time and I'm excited for you to hear his story. But really, he has great ideas and thoughts that I told him multiple times, I'm gonna have to chew on this to process what you've just said. And so I hope that this is challenging for you and it's also encouraging. And he is a person who is desiring light and happiness and doesn't want to let anything get in the way of that. So I'm super grateful just for his time on this project. Yeah. Tomato.
Tomato.
You say tomato.
Tomato.
Nope. Tomato.
Tomato.
Yeah, there you go.
Tomato.
Oh my gosh. This is so great. I'm just like chilling, living. Like, this is not my day job. And so to talk to someone on the other side of the world is just like so crazy to me. Like, that's crazy to me. So I don't know if that's crazy to you, but it's crazy to me.
It's not as crazy for me as it is for you. The craziest thing I ever had was, I don't know, maybe about 15 years ago. I got my first BlackBerry. Do you remember those things? BlackBerry?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a BlackBerry and I'm sitting on hanging on a like a little commuter train, texting or emailing my my partner, a business partner I had in Australia, you know, without any wires or anything. And it just like it seemed really, really weird. But, you know, to Zoom and Zencastr at the same time, that's a new one on me.
Happy to give you that experience.
Put it in a little boat. It's an early Christmas present. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, well, one, I'm curious how you came across it. I'm curious what, like, caused you to want to, like, reach out. Yeah, like I just kind of want to know all that. And you'll probably have to repeat it, but I'm just curious now as getting to know you.
Okay. I did some searching on Google for adoption podcasts. Mm. I came across yours. I listened to the first one and I thought I'd get in touch.
Wow.
Why did I do that? Well, because I want to bust the myths about adoption. Mm. So this is my day job. This is my day job.
Well, I hope I do you justice because I'm an amateur. So I'm like, I did a little searching on you and I was like, oh, he's like the real deal. I'm like, I'm an amateur. I'm just like a 33-year-old who works full time and does this when I have time and assumes only my friends and family are listening. Yeah.
Well, who wants, right? One of my mentors says, right, who wants professional? You know, no, let's all just be amateurs, right? If we're amateurs, we're still curious. We're having fun. You know, professionals put a suit on, go to work, be really square, don't have a lot of fun. Who wants to be like that? Who wants to be like that? Not me. Not me. And, you know, and if we're professionals and we've figured it all out, we've lost all our curiosity.
I guess I'm just curious, like, for you, because you said like you stumbled across something, like has that been part of your story? Is that new? Like, I wasn't sure if that was like a long time ago or if that was like recent or
stumbled across what
you were like, you found something in the original email. Like you had.
Yeah. So I'm 53. Mm-hmm. I was adopted at 5 weeks old. I had a happy adoption. You know, my mum and dad told me very young. I was so young I can't even remember being told. I'm pretty sure that they told me with a little picture book of a story of a couple that, you know, bought a house, got married, bought a house, and then adopted a child. I think they got a dog and a cat first, but that they didn't feel that the house was quite complete, so they adopted a kid. And I think that's how they explained it to me, because that book was on my bookshelf as a kid forever. Yeah, so I had a happy adoption, and everything went well. My mum and dad adopted another little sister a couple of years after me, not from my biological family, from, you know, whatever. And she used to say stuff when I was when we were kids, like, you know, do you ever want to find out your real mum, or whatever term she used. I said, no, these are our parents, you know, these are our parents. So I went to college, and then I went into the family business, and then I took over the family business. And for me, business was a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster, because, you know, at the age of 8, right, I was trying to recruit James Tinsley, who worked. So it was a publishing business. You need stuff to need people to draw stuff, right? Cartoons and illustrations. Mm-hmm. So at the age of 8, I was trying to recruit James Tinsley to work for the family business when I took it over from my dad, right? So the business, I grew up in a business obsessed household. Mm-hmm. And then I found business pretty tricky for a few reasons that aren't really important, but. And I had never really been motivated towards success. You know, we had a comfortable lifestyle. So I wasn't one of these kids who thought, you know, I need to go into business and this is going to change my life and I need to pull myself out of the gutter and, you know, and make something of myself. I never went down that route. I never thought that business success would make me happy. But I was very worried about business failure. And so when business success arrived, it was like a hollow victory for me. And what I mean by that is, you see a guy being interviewed or a girl being interviewed after they've won something in sports. So they've just won the Super Bowl, or they've just won an Olympic gold, or they've just won the NBA, whatever they've just won. And they say it hasn't really sunk in yet, you know, the victory. So that's because, in my opinion, the expectation of what the victory would do hasn't been fulfilled. It's been like a hollow victory. Yeah. So they thought that the euphoria would last forever. And it lasted, 3 or 4 seconds, and then they went back to where they were before. So that's what business success was like for me. And then around that time, I discovered that my teddy bear, so this is 13 years ago, right? So I discovered that my teddy bear had been given to me by my birth mother. So my dad told my wife this, because when I hit 40, my mum and dad, they brought a box of stuff that was still in my bedroom from when I'd left home when I was like 22 or something like that. So I thought that this is a little bit strange that they didn't tell me about the thing, but nothing else really. I just thought this is a bit strange. And then I was talking about this to somebody else, and I had this, and I had this massive explosion of anger. And I just thought, and I came out with all these swear words, and, you know, my mother didn't loved me enough to keep me, and she gave me this consolation prize, this teddy bear, right? So I figured that business success hadn't made me happy, so maybe there was something in this adoption thing that I needed to explore. So that was a bit of the background.
And so, do you feel like you found it?
Yeah, I found it. I went on a I'd heard a guy speak who whose story resonated with me, a business guy, yeah, not an adopted guy, business guy. He's called Richard Wilkins, and his Facebook tag is ex-millionaire turned happy person. Wow. So he'd achieved a lot and then lost it all and realized that his goals, his business goals, hadn't made him happy. But so he was like, he'd achieved a lot more than me. So he was like me on steroids, if you like. But the feeling was the same. Mm. It was like, you know. So he's into consciousness kind of stuff, if you know what I mean by that. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of found that, and then I decided to sell my business a couple of years later, and to his partner, you know, his partner in life and in the little, they don't call it a business, but you know, this consciousness group mm-hmm. that they run. I was talking to her one day, and I just blurted out, I said, "I want your job. I want to be a coach." So I ended up selling the business and have been working to help others since then. And so I went off and I've tried a few different things. And whilst doing that, I had another kind of dip. So somebody recommended Nancy Verrier's book, The Primal Wound. Have you read this book? Have you?
I have not.
Okay, don't.
Okay. Thank you for saving me time.
So I read this book, and okay, this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Me telling you not to read it is just my opinion.
Sure.
I read this book, and this book, she's an MD. So we don't call them MDs in here in the UK. We call them GPs, a general practitioner. So I mean, a general doctor, not a specialist, okay. Not a surgeon, an MD, right? So she's an MD. She adopted a daughter and she had a birth daughter as well. And she was trying to understand the difference between the two. And she found there was no research. So she started researching this. And the book says that essentially adopted people don't like being rejected. Adopted people like to control things. And adopted people don't like change. And all these sorts of things. And I read this and I thought, that explains that. That explains the whole thing. It painted me into a corner.
Mm.
Because I am primarily wounded. We are, you and me, are primarily wounded. Is that empowering to believe that we are primarily wounded?
Mm.
And I realized after a couple of years of doing more consciousness stuff that no, we are not primarily wounded, because wounds are physical things. Mm. Wounds are physical things. And none of us are our bodies. You know, who are we? What are we? And yeah, so is that all making sense? You can talk forever.
So then, if it's not the primal wounds, what would you say it is? Or like, what would you then suggest, not in spite of that, but as like a counter to that?
Okay. So have you heard of a guy called I can't even say his name, Dujardin, right? You might have heard the quote. And he said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience."
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard a version of that. Yeah.
You heard a version of that. So, right. So here's the thing. You can't wound spirit. You can't wound spirit. Wounds are physical.
Mm-hmm.
They are material.
Mm-hmm.
They are not spiritual, because there's nothing to spirit. Mm. That life force within us cannot be wounded, because a wound is something that happens. I cut my arm. I cut my arm, my physical arm, and that is a wound. Yeah. Now, she's using it as a metaphor. Nancy Berry is using a metaphor, and that metaphor is not. And for my take on what she wrote was not hopeful.
Mm.
It's not hopeful.
Mm.
It is, we are doomed.
Mm.
We are doomed. All of us. Mm. All adopted people are doomed.
Mm.
There's no way out. You cannot. Mm. You can't. You, me, Emily, we're all doomed. Right. Mm. That was what I read into it. That's the inference I draw. So at first it was, I know that you're religious. I'm not a religious person, right? But I'm going to use a religious word, right? I thought that this book was my savior.
Mm.
But then I realized that it was actually a route to hell.
Mm.
It was keeping me in hell.
Mm. Mm.
Now, I realized that really, really, really deeply. So you were talking about, you said, People can tell me that I'm chosen. I can read that I'm chosen. Da, 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 da. But until I realize a deeply something that you get in your bones, yeah, not intellectually. One of my mentors talks about this. I think it's a really easy way of making the distinction, yeah, because life is about these little distinctions, right? He says, you know, I can hear a joke and I think, that is a funny joke.
Mm.
That's an intellectual understanding.
Mm.
Or I can hear a joke and I can laugh.
Mm.
That is an embodied experience. It's experience, right? So I got this, we cannot be wounded, right?
Mm.
As an embodied experience.
Mm.
And so it means I get it. I really get that. So some of your listeners might be listening to that and listen to this now. You can say, well, yeah, that sounds like a neat idea, Simon. But they're getting it intellectually and getting something intellectually doesn't change us at all. I'm trying to do the best that I possibly can to highlight this change, to shine a light on this change.
Mm.
Shine a light on this insight, and I'm over-egging it, and I'm over-egging it with you on purpose, because my mission, the reason I'm here on this podcast, is because I want to bust the myth that adoptees are broken, wounded, forever doomed, because that's the way I felt, and that did not feel good.
I think that's such wisdom, because I was just I had therapy this week. I have therapy every week, but this week at therapy, I said some question. I was just like, I don't know. I just feel stuck. Like, I don't feel like I've like made progress, and I don't know. Like, I was just being hard on myself, and I was like, I don't know. It's like, what do I need to go? Like, what's the next thing I need to like work on or grow in? And I just feel stagnant and whatever. So we were talking about that. And I was like, I just feel like I have these behaviors that I'm trying to like, I feel like I'm stuck in kind of what to the primal wound, like that can be my mindset of like, I just, this is who I am and I'm stuck. And she said, well, what if the question isn't like, how can you change, but is this who I want to be? And that mindset change for me of going from like, oh, this is just who I am and I just have to accept it. And I guess I just understand that this is like part of my story. It was like, but the other part that gives you power is like asking yourself the question, but who do you want to be? Sure, you can have these tendencies, you can have coping mechanisms, you can isolate and, you know, push people away and try to be self-sufficient because of X, Y, and Z, but is that who you want to be? And you have control. And for some reason in my mind, that like unlocked something that I didn't realize. That I was like, oh, yes, there is a dark part to my story. And I'm not someone to like, I used to be someone to shy away from that and I didn't want to face it. But to me, I'm like, there is a dark sadness to my like ancestry of like being cut off from Korea and like knowing nothing about it. Like there is like a grief and a loss, but there's also, I have power of like, who do I want to be though? Do I want to be someone like you're saying that wallows in that and kind of lives in this perpetual hell? Or do I want to be someone who's like, can embrace that? And then I don't know, like have growth out of that. So I don't know if that's really getting to what your point is, but as I'm listening to you, that's kind of furthering kind of my session I had with my therapist of understanding like where I'm at, like right now, of like looking to the hope rather than always dwelling on the wound, you know?
Okay. So there's a few different ways that I can go to answer what you've just said, or to answer, or to lead on to the conversation from what you've just said. So what would you like me to do?
I would just love to know your thoughts. You're further along in your journey and have a lot of knowledge. And so I'm like, I just want all your thoughts. So you can go whichever way you want.
Okay. Right. You can go that way. Who do you want to be? And that worked for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm not going to disrespect whatever, your therapist or your experience, because it is all about questions. It is, what the therapist is doing is asking a question, and that's prompting you to a new insight. Okay. Mm. And that's, insights are the name of the game.
Mm.
Yeah. Questions are the answer, because questions lead us to insights. Mm. And I'm using this a lot at the moment, because I've only used it, I came up with it last Christmas, and with talking to a friend of my wife's, right? There's no such thing as a secondhand epiphany.
Mm.
Yeah.
Those are really powerful words, but I need more. Like, say more.
Okay. So most of the thoughts that we have are hand-me-down thoughts. Like, we hand me down. Yeah. So one of my the hand-me-down thoughts that I got from my dad, unintentionally, right, is the idea that worrying keeps us on our toes. And therefore, you know, in our business, and that means that we don't make mistakes, right?
Mm.
Hand-me-down thought.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no such thing as a second-hand epiphany. So there's no such thing as a hand-me-down epiphany. Mm. I can't hand you down an epiphany.
Yes.
I can't do that. You have to have the epiphany for yourself.
Mm.
Right. So the way to get to epiphanies and insights is through a question. And that's why therapists and coaches and counselors ask questions.
Mm.
That's why. So a question. So you will own your insight. It will be yours, because I cannot give you an insight.
Mm.
I've shared my insight. I've already done it. I've tried this with you already.
Mm.
And I didn't try it, but I kind of shared it, but it didn't land for you. Because I know it didn't land for you because of what you've just told me, right?
Mm.
This is not about, okay, so does that all make sense?
Yeah, that's real. I feel like I'm somebody who, like, I will now think about what you just said for probably the next 6 months, and then I will repeat what you said for the next 6 months, and then it will become so part of what I say. It just will become, that's just how I am. Like, I'm like, wow, I love that idea. There's hand-me-down thoughts, but you can't have a secondhand epiphany. And I'm like, I've never thought of those two things being separated. But to me, I'm like, wow, it's just kind of like rippling a lot of things in my mind right now. So I'm like, I need to sit and chew on that and relive some. You can't see him, but he's doing like hearts with his hands. But I'm like, I need to chew on that. And then it will probably bring insights, as you're saying, in so many other places that I'm like, that difference is like, that's just, it's so nuanced, but that's so powerful. I'm like, wow. So I'm like, for me, I need to chew on that and I need to sit with it and I need to think about it. So that's where I'm at when you say, I'm like, wow. It's like a provocative thought for me.
Well, do you know what? You've made my day, Emily. You really have made my day.
Merry Christmas, Zencaster and this. So.
Zencaster and this. You've made my day. You really have made my day.
Oh.
You have my day. Because this is what I want to do. You know? This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do, is help people to insights. You know? Like, people have helped me to insights, and insights have changed my world.
Mm.
So I want to, that's what I want.
Well,
but I keep on doing.
Well, I'm so glad.
That's what I do do. So that's what I've been doing for the last 7 years.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that? Like, tell us what you actually do. I'm kind of gathering what you do, but can you like lay it out what exactly you do?
Okay. So for the last 7 years, I have been working with kids to help them make their dreams come true. Mm-hmm. So I've been using like adult coaching models adjusted for kids into fun games about optimistic oranges, positive pomegranates, yeah.
Wow.
And sad strawberries. And smiley strawberries. And stuff like that. So that's what I've been doing. For kids of, you know, just like all kids, not adopted kids, whatever. And so that's what I did. I worked with 1,600 kids, right? So I helped them, inspire them to make their dreams come true, and help them, you know, realize that happiness, you know, as one of my pals says, happiness is an inside job, right? Mm. So there's no such thing as miserable weather.
Mm.
Miserable weather is the ultimate hand-me-down thought, right?
Mm.
I've just been to see my mum. Mm. My mum yesterday had to have her dog put down, right?
Sad.
13 and a half years old, and yeah. Right? So I went to see my mum, and she just, her first thought isn't, her first comment isn't about the dog, isn't about Tara. It's about the fact that we're having miserable weather.
Oh, God. Was it miserable weather?
Well, is there such a thing as miserable weather? Is there?
You're right. It's just people projecting.
It's just, you know, I've been really sad in the sunshine, right?
Mm.
And I've been really happy in the rain.
Mm.
You know, these things, so I've been helping kids understand that happiness is an inside job. And that most of the time we're not choosing, because we wouldn't choose negative nectarines, would we?
Mm.
No, we wouldn't choose negative nectarines. So it's not our fault. Yeah, it's not our fault.
Wow.
So I've been, and then I started working with parents on this stuff. And then I realized that what I really needed to do was I really need to work with adoptive parents and adoptees on this stuff. So that's what I do.
Mm.
I train parents in my stuff, and then I give them the tools, and I train them how to use the tools with their kids, including the stuff, the comic that I just showed.
Wow. It's just interesting because through this podcast, like, I've realized that I'm like, there are so many parents who have so many questions. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but I'm like, if I could go back and offer one thing, like if I could take something from the future and take it and drop it in the past, and it wouldn't, you know, change the time continuum, whatever, it would have been someone who could have translated for my parents and I. Because I was in, I'm curious your thoughts on this actually, but I had, through Young Life, he is a trained therapist, and his phrase he says is, children are excellent observers and terrible interpreters. And that, for me at least, kind of helped me realize like, oh, these things I observed about my parents, I interpreted them as negative, or that they didn't love me, or whatever it was, you know, pick the scenario. And so I feel, for me, I'm like, the thing that I wish that we could have had was a translator or someone to help us get to an understanding. Cause I was so young. I had so many thoughts. I live in my head. So I had so many thoughts. I didn't know how to get them out. I didn't know how to express them. My parents, who are lovely people who love me and my sisters, we just couldn't connect on that level. And what you're doing is really connecting people to, except for me at least, in a way that I'm like, man, if I could have had that, if I would have had someone who was helping my parents talk about feelings with me and vice versa, like, I'm not saying like this in a negative way, but I do wonder like, what would that have changed, or what ripple effect would that have had in me? And it makes me want to like help other people in those spaces, like find that communication. And I feel like that's what you're doing, which I just think is really cool.
Why don't we just do that together, Emma?
Okay.
Deal.
I'm like, you've already done the hard work of figuring out. So that's what I'm like, wow. I just have so, there's so many parents, friends of mine, family friends, where I grew up. There isn't, you can't throw a penny without hitting a family that has a kid that's adopted. There have been so many parents who've reached out to me that was like, can you sit down and talk to my child? I'm like, well, your kid is 8, and I know that it will be weird if I'm a 33-year-old being like, hello there, I would like to talk to you about you being adopted. But it's interesting how like so many parents are like, I don't know what to do. And I'm just getting to the age where I'm understanding that. Like when I was in my 20s, I was so all over the place. I wasn't like thinking about this stuff.
Oh, we'll just do that then. Okay. isn't this what this is for?
Yeah.
You know, we're doing it now.
Yeah, you're right.
We're doing it now. Okay, we're gonna have some ripples. We're gonna have some ripples. We're just talking about having a few more ripples.
Yeah.
So we can ripple so much through the podcast, and then we can ripple off with other stuff, and we'll ripple off with other stuff, and we'll just create a load of ripples.
Okay. Well, I'm really down. I don't know what that means. I don't know where that's going. I have absolutely no, I normally have like a 3-year plan. I have no clue, but it just, I feel like I'm the line in between the dot right now. And I'm seeing the line being drawn, but I don't know where the next dot is or how long it's going to go. You know,
you've heard Steve Jobs talking about this, have you?
No.
You only join the dots. You can only join the dots when you look backward.
Oof. I don't like that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I want to know now. No, I want to know.
Okay.
Like, that puts me like, I want to know when the dot's happening, where the dot is. Well,
we've already done it. We've done it, though. We've done it. We're saying that... You're saying that what would have changed your life if you had an interpreter when you were growing up, and you said that parents are asking you to interpret stuff for their kids, and I've said let's do it. So that is it.
Oh gosh, okay, you're not wrong. Dang.
There's no escape.
where's the cord? Pull the cord. Rewind. It's already been undone. I don't know. It's just fascinating because, and I don't say this in a way of like, oh, I already thought of this. I say it in a way of like, this is just very profound to me. Like, sometimes I feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes in life I can just like, it's so poetic. You're just like, this is so poetic. Like, I don't know exactly how it is, but it's just, that's what it is. And I was like over, I don't know, 4 months ago, I was looking, I was like, what would I need to do to be like a family counselor? Like, what do? Do you need to go to school? Do you need to get a degree? And I'm too terrified. I'm too scared. Like, I like solid ground beneath my feet sometimes. I'm just like, what is it? And I was telling my friends and my roommates, and I was like, there's something in me that's just like exactly what we're saying is like, I just want to help families and like help prevent, or not prevent, because it's not, I don't have that much power, but like just help in that way. So I don't know. It's just interesting that you're saying, and I'm like, I don't, it just kind of blew my mind.
Great. You heard that? Have you heard this recently? I don't know what it is. And I don't know if this doesn't, right, if you haven't heard the original line, you won't laugh. You'll just think, what the hell is that, right?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah.
This is your density.
I don't get it, but I want to.
Destiny. Destiny. Mm. Okay. Mm. So do you want to go back to the who do you want to be bit?
Sure. I'm okay. Scared.
So... your counselor, your therapist asked you who you want to be. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that triggered some questions in you, and that was good. Okay, so she asked you what if the question is who you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you is, who are you?
Ugh. Who am I? I have such a hard time answering this question because not now, but my whole life, like when people will say, who are you? I'm like, that is such a weird, like I'm Emily Wells.
Yeah.
I'm in my mind so much. I'm so literal.
Let me take you somewhere on this, right? Okay. Like, I'll make it less about you because it feels a bit horrible to be put in on the spot. Yeah. I felt a bit horrible when you did that. Oh, God. I've run that all my life, and now you're asking me. What the hell? We were getting away. We were getting on swimmingly. I thought this was my identity. I thought we were going to change the world together. And now you've asked me this stupid question, and it's all off.
That's
you know,
true.
You said there was no escape, Simon, but I'm escaping. You're a freaking escape. I'm going to go anywhere near you.
No. Keep going. Okay.
So. 5 years ago, I got a piece of paper, and it was a copy of my. It was a copy of my birth certificate.
Wow.
My first one.
Mm.
So, the first birth certificate that I ever saw said Simon Jonathan Benn, but that was my second birth certificate.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This first one that I got from when I was born on the 4th of January 1967 said David Anthony Flower.
Wow.
And I thought, wow. I didn't think you. I thought, wow. I've had two names.
Mm. This was only 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So here's the thing. If I've had two names, I can't be my name.
Hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
I cannot be my name.
Hmm.
So if somebody says, who am I? Well, I'm Simon Jonathan Benn. But yeah, who am I? Well, okay. But if we go to identity here, right? Go to identity. I've already said who we all are, right? We are all human. We are all spiritual beings having a human experience. We are spirit.
Mm.
We are spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We are spirit. And so we're not our names. We're not our bodies, are we? Because anything, you know, who something that we are is got to be like never changing, unchanging.
Mm.
Yeah, identity. You know, who we are is something that never changes.
Mm.
That's I am. The am bit doesn't change. Is this too freaky for you? Or are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm tracking.
Okay. Is it too freaky? Am I talking down to you? Am I talking up to you? Okay.
No. I'm track. I'm toddling behind you. I'm with you. Yes, keep going.
Well, that's good because the nation, the world needs more leaders. It doesn't need more followers. So we'll sort that out. So the identity never changes, right? Mm-hmm. Identity never changes, but names change, you know, in a less dramatic way than our names have changed. We had some real practical jokers at school, okay? And he was called Elliot, I think his name was. And he changed his name to Howard. How would you like to go out for a drink?
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And he sold the story. Here in the UK, you can change your name by, they call it by deed poll, right? You can change your name by deed poll. And you have to pay, I don't know what you have to pay. But then he sold his story to one of the tabloid newspapers about this.
Himself?
Yeah. It's quite an entrepreneur, 16 or so. And then his friend, who was called Johnny Gaye, G-A-Y-E, he changed his name as well, and he changed his name to Straight. So the headline, and he sold the story too, and it says, Gay Goes Straight.
People are crazy over there. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and he's still called Johnny Straight. Like, he's this entrepreneur guy now, and he's got this really weird kind of like 1950s mustache that sticks out that he puts wax on. A really like hipster sort of rubbish, and I saw him talking at a business conference, and he's made a lot of money out of recycling bins. But you know, he's called Johnny Straight or Jonathan Straight, and you know, so he changed his name, right? So we aren't our names, you know. So it's not always dramatic as that, you know. People sometimes women change the name when they get married. My wife didn't. Not our bodies. Our bodies change. Yeah, our bodies change.
That's so okay. This is just a side note, but I was just thinking about how there's certain people. I don't know. Do people call you Simon or Simon Ben?
They call me Simon. Oh, sorry, yeah. Ben is my surname. It's not. It's not like I am Joanne.
Right.
Joanne. Well,
people call me Emily Wells. From the time I was a kid, my name is. There's just in America. Maybe they do that there too, but there's just certain names like people call you by your. Either your last name, your name, a nickname, or your full name. Like, but everyone has always called me Emily Wells. That's just like, I don't know why. It's just like Emily Wells. And I have a friend, the Neal family, and their mom calls them all by their, like, Chris Neal, Mary Neal, Ryan Neal. Like, and everyone else calls them that too. And so to me, it's just interesting that you're saying this about this identity piece, because I did know my Korean name. And my second middle name was my given Korean name, or the name that was given to me at the orphanage, at least. I don't know if that was my birth given name. Anyway, but I've always said Emily Wells is who I am. That's my identity. Like, I could never, if I get married, I could never change my name. So it's just fascinating, because I wonder if there's something deeper in there of like, that gave me comfort, like saying like, I am Emily Wells, like gave me comfort because of there's so many other unknowns that I didn't have. And so as you're saying this, I'm like, that's so true. Like, we aren't our names. Like, we are, like you're saying, like, we're spiritual beings living the human experience. I totally am on board. I believe that. And like, I'm like parallel, or I'm with you on that. Silly example. I had a nose ring. Somehow in the middle of the night, I've had that nose, that same, it's like sterling silver. It's like a post, like the people have to put it in there so it doesn't come out. And anyway, I've had that thing in for like 7 years, never took it out. And it fell out somehow overnight. And I had a couple days where I was feeling so anxious because of COVID. They're not doing anything that's under the mask. So my nose piercing is going to, you know, grow back together. And I'm not going to have a nose ring anymore. And I was telling my friend that, I was like, I just feel like people won't think I'm interesting. And I was like, that's a very insecure moment. And she was like, your nose ring is the least interesting thing about you. And I was just like, thank you for saying that. And like, I appreciate that. And I was like, I literally had this conversation last week. I was like, what is wrong with me? I was like, I feel like I'm having like an identity crisis. So it's just interesting that you're bringing this up. And I'm, again, poetic. I don't know what it means. I don't know where it's going. But I'm just like, wow. But I just watched Hamilton for the first time. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. Well, yeah, awkward. It's like, are we still tense about it? I'm just kidding. But like, I, you know, because, you know, America.
I don't know what it's about.
It's about Alexander Hamilton, and it's about the American Revolutionary War, and it's about like the king it's about the Boston Tea Party, it's about being like, we'll pay your taxes, and they're like, no, we won't. Anyway, so when I was in fifth grade, I had a teacher, maybe it wasn't fifth grade, I had a teacher who, in the middle of class, during history, said, and I don't know how they do it there, but in grade school, K through sixth grade, your teacher teaches all your subjects. So you like stay in the same classroom. So my teacher we were in history, and somehow it got brought up about like the president and the judicial system and blah, 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 blah. And they were like, well, if you're not born in America, you can't be the president. And they were like, in the middle of class, they were like, oh, like Emily, she wasn't born here, so she can't be the president. And so for me, I just like, I don't remember this, but it was like, I just shut down and then just like never liked history class. I hated history, which now looking back, I'm like, oh, that's why I hated history, because that was humiliating. Like, I was the only non-white person and the only person not born in America. So that was like so humiliating. And so there's so much about history that I did not know. So when I watched Hamilton, I was like, wait. So the Boston Tea Party was because the king wanted these people to pay taxes and they didn't want to. So they were like, F the king, we're going to dump the tea. And everyone was like, yeah, like, where were you? Like, yeah, yep. That's like basic history. And then like all this stuff of like the forefathers and all these people. And I was like, wait, so they were alive at the same time. And they were like, Emily, that is embarrassing. I was like, I understand it's embarrassing, but I never learned this stuff. Like, I just totally blocked it out. So anyway, that's just a fun one.
So I have a similar story from school, but it's actually woodwork. When we were 12, we were making woodwork. We were doing woodwork and we're making a stool, right? And I was slow on the stool. I'm not good with my hands. And a friend of mine called Michael Brown finished the stool for me, and I've hated DIY ever since.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
So that isn't because I'm adopted.
Mm.
That is not because I'm adopted. You know, we all have stuff. Mm. We all do stuff. We all feel humiliated.
Mm.
And we all don't do stuff but what happens is, anyway, for me, is I hang stuff. I hung stuff on the peg called adoption.
Mm.
And it's not. It's nothing to do with adoption. Woodwork isn't adoption.
Mm.
Woodwork. Lack of woodwork skills has got nothing to do with adoption. But what happens is our brain is looking to make a connection. And so the brain's looking to make a connection, which is, don't do history, Emily, because history is going to humiliate you.
Mm.
Don't do woodwork, Simon, because failure at woodwork is going to humiliate you. So don't even go there. That is a very American phrase. We don't say that in English. That is an American thing, you know. So you can, we don't say that. Like, so, you know, some people say, reach out is the funniest one, right? You know. Reach out is a really American thing. So there's a lot of stuff going around here with comedians. Okay, there's only one reason to reach out. The only people who can reach out are the people in the four tops.
In a way?
The four tops. The people that sung a song called Reach Out, and I'll Be There, right? Because reach out is, we've, you know, we gave you your freedom, I'm not sure whether we should. And now you're bringing all this crappy language into us, you know, like tomato, like reach out, like don't even go there, like can I get a coffee? No. Can I have a coffee? Can I get a coffee? You are not American. You are English. You can say, can I get a coffee? Can I get a coffee? You can say, can I have a coffee?
Wait, can I get a coffee? Can I have a coffee? Wait, which one is it?
Get a coffee is American. Have a coffee is English.
Can I get a coffee?
Can I have a coffee?
That's so funny.
No. You email somebody or you give them a call. Thanks for reaching out. No, I'm not in the Four Tops. I don't reach out. I'm English. I'm not American. I'm not in the Four Tops. I don't reach out. I email somebody or I call them or I send them a text message. I don't reach out.
Oh, gosh.
Or circle back. That's another one. Can I circle back to you on that? Oh, just go away. Go away. Right. So.
What do you say instead? Or do you guys just not say that?
Hey, what? Circle back.
Like, do you just.
I'll get back to you. I'll give you a call next week. I'll email you next week. I'll see you. Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. That's
But these aren't who we are, right? These aren't who we are because the spirit never circles back or says tomato or holds its thing in any of that way, right? And here's the biggie.
Oh gosh.
The who you are. The who you are is the who we all are.
So this was just part one with Simon Ben. There was so much good stuff in there. And as you can tell, this was our first time meeting and we really just got along and we're laughing. And I love hearing from other people's perspectives who live other places than the US. And so it was just such a cool thing to hear him talk about things Americans do. And I asked him like, what was the most American thing I did, you know, as we talked, and you'll get to hear that next week. So anyway, part two of Simon Ben will be out next week on Wednesdays as per usual. And as always, thanks for listening. It's always a choice and have a great day.